now for something completely different.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to episode number 503 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Is AI the new electricity? What is the role of AI in disinformation and misinformation? And how do we survive and thrive through the AI revolution? In this week's podcast, we're investigating all of this and more with author, founder of the Next Wave Institute, and AI expert Peter Scott. Peter and I also investigate Google's Lambda, the motivation to write his book, Artificial Intelligence and You, and why Peter believes that artificial intelligence is like the parable of the blind men and the elephant. So, without further ado, please welcome Peter to Fish Fry. Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's great to be on the show.
Excellent. Okay, so we're chatting all about the AI revolution today. But before we get started, tell my audience a little bit about yourself, your career in electronic engineering, and why you became interested particularly in AI.
So certainly, yes. When I was a kid in primary school in England, growing up, the very first thing that I answered the question, what do you want to be when you grow up with, was electronics engineer. Got modified later on to astrophysicist. And then I went and worked for an astrophysicist for a while, decided that I would actually have more fun working on the computers that they use to solve their problems. If I could do that more of the time, then I would have even more fun. And that was perfect timing. So I got a degree in computer science at Cambridge University, then went to work for NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in California, because then still interested in space, right? So combining those things. And AI has been a particular interest of mine for about the last 12 years or so, as it became more prominent. And as I had children, because not coincidentally, my older daughter is now 12, and their arrival prompted me to think, where is this going? I have a vested interest now in how the world might change as a result of this technology, and it looks like that's going to be significant. And that drew me into being interested in everything about AI, especially the way it will impact us.
So, Peter, you recently wrote a book called Artificial Intelligence and You. So let's talk about this AI revolution. Tell my audience more about your book and your motivation to write it.
Sure. As part of that mission for my children and the rest of us, I realized that AI is like the parable of the six blind men and the elephant. One thinks that they're feeling a spear because they're touching a tusk, and another one thinks it's a rope because they're touching the tail. But instead of six people groping an elephant, we've got this enormous thing that each of us feels a different part of. AI really is all things to all people in many ways. It impacts and intersects with every sector of our society, every way that we express ourselves. And it's particularly challenging when you've got something of that scope and breadth to help people understand it when it's poised to make such radical impacts to their lives. And so the book, which is the same name as my podcast and my classes, is my attempt to convey a useful understanding to people about what AI is, but how they can use it to future-proof their careers, themselves, and thrive in the face of this incredible opportunity and disruption.
So, Peter, how do you think my audience as engineers can thrive in this AI climate?
Well, that's a terrific question, because engineers probably already have a good technical understanding of AI if they aren't already even working in that field. And if you have an inclination to work in that field and any ability to do that, then there couldn't be a better time to be an AI engineer. It reaches out also into other fields. So even if they want to be on the periphery of something like the ethics of that type of engineering, there are enormous opportunities in that right now. And then that certainly is one of the main areas that engineers, even the most technical ones, should be looking at, because the interest in an activity surrounding the ethics of artificial intelligence is superheated right now for good reasons. And so I would say that looking at the human impact of AI and the way that you can help people relate to it, help them use it, think about user interfaces, that you will have the most longevity, the least likelihood of an AI taking your job.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the role that AI plays in misinformation and disinformation.
Oh gosh, that just covers so much.
It does.
You can look at what's happened with the YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook algorithms and see how they've essentially broken society with AI. And I don't think that's really a controversial or statement or exaggeration, because they had algorithms that were designed to maximize the amount of time people spent on their platforms, as one might expect for a platform that's monetized by how much time people spend on it. And what they didn't take into account was that people will spend time looking at something, not just that's cute, but what makes them angry. And so that has the effect of essentially radicalizing an audience along any axis that the machine learning has constructed interest levels for. And the Wall Street Journal did a terrific study on this, very good analysis and science, and showed how you just get taken further and further in the direction of whatever your character, your personality is already bent towards. And if there is any inclination towards conspiracy theories, well, then it will take you down a rabbit hole that ends up at QAnon or who knows what. And the way that AI can be particularly dangerous in this respect is that throughout history, obviously, people have sought to change the opinions of large numbers of people for all kinds of reasons. But if you're broadcasting something, then you've got a one-size-fits-all message. You can drop leaflets from planes or something like that, but you don't know who you're reaching except as statistical aggregates. Well, now we know that we can construct machine learning algorithms and data that will tailor messages to individuals. It's taken those demographics right down to the individual level, and that you can have the equivalent of that agent provocateur, if you will, in the wars, that would be a secret agent whose purpose was to change people's minds about the mission, the value of the war effort, by speaking directly to them to sow discord. Well, that's exactly what AI can do now. And so its potential for spreading misinformation and disinformation is higher than any other technology that we've had before. And I don't think that we've really addressed this in any meaningful way yet.
So, Peter, you say that AI can be considered the new electricity. So let's talk more about that.
Sure. And actually, it was Andrew Ng who said that AI would be called the new electricity. I repeated it, and then I condensed it to one word to save time, but to also put together some roots. So I call that phenomenon dynocognosis, the process of applying power to thinking. And what Ng was getting at is that the revolution of electricity started with things that were maybe predictable. You could see the invention of the electric light, the motor, the dynamo. You could fast forward in your mind and you could see cars that were powered by electricity. You could see miniaturization of these devices. You could see personal flashlights and so forth. But you wouldn't see semiconductors. You wouldn't see computers being developed. You wouldn't see the revolution that then led to smartphones, Twitter, and AI itself. And yet all of that ensued from the invention of electricity. Well, artificial intelligence is doing to thinking what electricity did to motion, light, and heat. And what are the dimensions of thinking? Well, they're uncountable. And that's the perhaps the last bastion of human exceptionalism, if you will, that AI is getting started on, making all these incredible inroads into what we think of as what makes us special. So there's really just no conceivable limit, I think, to where it could go. The only question is, how long is it going to take to get there? And that's why electricity is a good comparison. And Sundar Pichai of Google thought it was should be compared to the invention of fire. So even electricity is not going out on that big a limb.
Absolutely. So no deep dive into AI would be complete without talking about Google's Lambda. So what are your opinions about this application?
Oh, we have had so many conversations about that lately. And it is interesting because I predicted that something like this would occur at some point, about now, actually. But I never thought that it would be someone working for Google that would be the first one to do it. It seemed far more likely that someone on the outside with less technical expertise would be the one to think that an AI somewhere was being sentient. And in fact, it was Blake Lemoine, Google engineer and occupying some other roles, who said that. Now, very few people agree with him. I'm not sure anyone does, but it won't be that long before we have examples where there will be more debate about it. Because it turns out that it's actually not as hard as we would like to make something that does a good imitation of sentience, of thinking, of conversation. Just as Alan Turing called his test the imitation game. The hard part is, how are we supposed to tell the difference between an imitation and the real thing if all you have to go on is what you can observe? If you can't look inside it, or if looking inside it is not meaningful, because yes, we can look inside a computer program, see all the lines of code and say, where is sentience there? Okay, well, I guess I don't see it, so that isn't there. Well, you look inside the human brain and we see axons, neurons, and ATP, and none of those are sentient either. And yet put enough of them together and we seem to manage it. So this could result in, a lot of late night philosophical debates, of course, because we don't have good definitions of what sentience is. But at some point, it may end up in a court, and that will be really interesting.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Peter, I think it's time for your off the cuff. Now that we've gone through the hard questions, let me throw you a standard off the cuff. So, Peter, if you could have one meal right now, doesn't matter if it's on the other side of the planet, you need a passport to get there, the restaurant's closed, what would you have?
Well, you must belong to Toastmasters, because this is exactly the sort of question that we get lobbed in the table topics every week. I would go for my sister-in-law's sherry trifle. I'd have to go to England to get it, but I have my passport, and it is a multi-layered delight of cream, custard, fruit, and particularly welcome on a summer day like this.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. Well, Peter, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
If you're anything like me, you love a good AI story. And in just a couple weeks, I will also be welcoming Johanna Pingle from MathWorks to discuss explainable AI, the differences between complexity and explainability, and how explainability will impact the future of AI. And if you want to check out even more Fish Fry interviews about artificial intelligence, I would encourage you to check out my new playlist on YouTube called AI on Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. In this series, I check out the largest AI processor ever made, neuromorphic computing, and how AI can predict the weather better than the weatherman. And you can check out this playlist, which includes all of that and more, by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, or you can just head on over to youtube.com/eejournal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you would like to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, I dig it. You can also follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I just mentioned, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, hosted by yours truly, and a selection of Fish Fry podcasts as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. It really does help. And if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 14th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.